few movies, take a few notes.
It was fun.
Two, one. Okay. What's up, Goreheads, and welcome to another fantastic episode of the Extreme Horror Replay Podcast. And as always, I have my amazingly stunning wife, Nancy, with me today. She is my co-host, my second in command. No, my not second in command. I'm going to skip that part. She is my amazing co-host, my 50% of the show. My
wise idea.
Huh?
I'm not second to anybody.
my other half, my better half, my lovely co-host, my stunning wife, and her name is Nancy. I am Ben, and together we are Extreme Horror Replay Podcast. But today we have a wonderful show for you, and I think it's going to probably upset a lot of people because we're going to slightly poo-poo the movie that we are covering. But before we do that, I have a would you rather for my wife and for all of you fine folks out there listening along. So you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. This has nothing to do with the movie, but would you rather eat a bowl of soup that was mixed with a nasty pus, or would you rather eat a salad that had toenail clippings in it?
I knew that you were going to have some kind of fingernail clippings. I absolutely knew that. You should have asked me before if I would be able to guess. I would have said that.
Okay.
How hot is the soup?
How hot is the soup? I mean, okay, for conversation's sake, it would be a soup.
Did it reach a boiling point during the time of cooking?
It was mixed with the pus after the soup was cooked.
Oh. Mm.
Yeah. So you boil the soup.
Do we know where the pus came from?
No, it's just pus.
Mm.
We're not getting specific. We're just saying pus-filled bowl of soup or a toenail clipping salad.
Would we have to eat the toenail clippings or just pick around them?
Nope, you can't pick around them. You have to eat the pus or you have to eat the toenail clippings.
My choice is neither.
No, you can't do neither.
No, I would neither.
You can't do neither. You cannot do neither. Fine. So, pus soup?
No, nothing. I would not.
Or toenail salad.
I would do neither.
You have to pick one.
You can put a gun to my head. I will not do either.
Nope. I'm not letting you get out of this. You got to pick one.
All right.
This is just like the cutting off the balls, the cock and balls, or the going to prison for a crime you didn't commit.
Okay. Scenario. I get that. But I have found a loophole.
There is no loopholes.
There is one.
Bullshit.
So you give me the soup, right?
Okay.
And it's got pus in it?
Yeah.
I go and put it in the microwave for 10 minutes. Then I'll eat it.
It still has pus in it. It doesn't matter if you boil it.
It's been microwaved.
What does that have to do with anything?
That kills any...
It still has pus in it.
All right. It doesn't matter.
So you're telling me that you would rather eat a pussy soup?
Yeah. If I've microwaved all of...
So you would rather eat a pussy soup?
I would have microwaved all the biohazard out of it.
It's still pus. It doesn't matter if it's got germs.
Do you get how germs and viruses work?
There is no microwaving the pus out of the soup.
Yeah, there is.
It still has pus in it. End of story.
It has been microwaved.
No.
That's why. All right.
There is no loophole. No, do you pick the pus back. Or do you pip the nails?
No. I take the soup. Let's take a step back.
There is no epidemiologist roundabout. No,
this is not epidemiologists in this. When you're pregnant, they tell you don't eat lunch meat unless you put it in the microwave first.
They also tell you not to pick up cat poop.
Exactly. I'm not telling you not to pick up. I'm not telling you to eat cat poop. I'm just saying if you're pregnant, they tell you if you're going to eat bologna, turkey, ham.
I remember the whole story.
You're going to have to put it in the microwave, and that kills all the. You, germs that
no hey, this is my would you rather.
Yeah.
No, just stop it right there. There is no loopholes. You're eating pus filled soup or a toenail salad. We'll
put the pus-filled soup in the microwave.
And it doesn't kill anything.
Let's say it doesn't.
In my scenario, it does not.
Okay, in my scenario, it does. And I'm going to put it in the microwave for like 10 minutes, and then I'll eat it.
No.
I have that prerogative.
No, you do not.
Yes, I do.
No.
You're not just going to give me a bowl of pus soup and tell me I'm going to eat it.
There's no loopholes.
There is.
There's not.
Okay, so I'll take it and be like, yum, I'm going to take this back to my house, and then I'll put it in the microwave.
What do you mean your house? Your house is my house.
If you're serving me pussy soup, we don't live in the same house.
You can't. No. So you're eating the pus soup.
Where in the hell are you from?
With no microwaving.
No, I would not.
It's freshly made soup.
You never said that I could not microwave it.
You can't find the loophole. If there was no loophole for me to get my cock and balls chopped off or whatever it was. All
right, I forfeit.
You're not.
I am forfeiting.
Okay. This is not a pussy. This is a pussy. You are being a pussy.
Be that as it may. I will microwave.
Uh-uh.
I will microwave all of the.
You are not allowed. All right. No, you're okay. So no, you're
not going to tell me what I can ingest and what I can do with it before I eat it. That would be force feeding.
But okay, you did not give me a choice. And
you did not even think of a choice. That's your bad. You should have thought about it.
There is no choice.
No, because you didn't think about this, just because you didn't think about this loophole, does not mean I have to be a victim of it.
So fine. You can still microwave it.
Okay.
But all you're doing is, I mean, there's still pus in the soup.
Yeah.
Like a giant glump of pus.
Okay. You don't think if you're eating chicken soup, there's not some chicken pus in there somewhere?
Have you ever seen a clump of chicken goop or pus in soup?
Yeah. When we're cutting up chicken to cook
it. Not
that
soup.
That gooey stuff.
But not soup. That's just fat. That's not pus.
It gets cooked away. It gets boiled away.
You're so fucking full of shit.
I'm not.
Whatever. Okay, so you're eating the nasty pus-filled soup.
Yeah, that's right. After I microwave it.
Okay, so I don't eat... What? I don't eat my toenails.
You...
What are you talking about?
You eat your toenails on your side over the pus-filled soup. What was your choice?
I'm going to eat the toenail salad and just pretend
like
it's croutons.
Okay.
Or eat it with the croutons.
All right. So you eat your toenails. I'll be eating my sterile.
It's not sterile.
Sterile pus-filled salad. It is.
I'll just add.
I'm microwaving
I will it. Just add more pus when you're not looking to the soup that you just microwaved. So it doesn't matter. You're still eating pus soup.
Where's the source of the pus?
We never established that. I don't know.
Well, that would be a huge deciding factor.
Okay, so we'll say a giant boil on the ass of a horse.
All right, so we're eating your pus.
Fuck you. Fuck you. You fucking bitch.
If it's pus from you, then all right, put it in the microwave, zap it, that's fine.
Fuck you. You stupid asshole.
You set yourself up for that one.
Whatever. You fucking suck.
I set it up and then you went and danced right into it. Whatever.
All right. So, okay. Fucking asshole. So, okay. Now, okay, before we get into the movie, I would like to call out a couple gentlemen from the Slash You podcast. Nick and Andy, you guys, you know, you keep poking and you're poking a sleeping bear. Now, I listened to your episode today on Stage Fright, and once again, you called Nancy and I Extreme Horror NPR. I will say, well, this was Andy.
First of all, I would be glad if we were to get our show on NPR.
Oh, right. That would be, yeah.
Right. NPR, there's no sponsoring or National anything Public like that. Radio. Yeah.
But so, Andy, once again, you called us out. You called us Extreme Horror NPR. I know you're only fucking with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that there's this friendly rivalry, but dude, what the fuck? Calling Leatherface Leatherman.
Isn't that not what the kinky character on American Horror Story, the first season, was called?
I don't know if it was latex or no, leather.
I think
or
it was Leatherman. It was really kinky. It's probably a Freudian slip.
But you guys call yourself a slasher
Leatherman
podcast.
Creepy.
And here you are, and you're calling Leatherface one of the biggest slashers of the fucking.
You're confusing a serial killer that uses the skin of his victims on his head to Leatherman, who is a sadomasochist that lives in a haunted house.
Or the fucking multi-tool that, you know, because there's the Leatherman brand multi-tool. Yeah,
I don't know. It must have been a Freudian slip. That's all I can think of because now, it makes no sense. Leatherface was quite clearly Leatherface.
They have said that they have an OnlyFans. Now, I don't know how true this is.
Maybe Leatherman is their handle.
But a couple of cinephiles such as yourself should know that Leatherface is the main character, the main antagonist from Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Which is odd because he makes the masks only over his face. So I wouldn't know. I don't know why they would like include the entire like epitome of the man.
So I think Nancy and I, we need to demote you guys from /U/University. Again, to /community college.
No, it's a /technical school.
You guys should know better than poke a sleeping bear.
/certificate program.
Right. Right. And again, one of them's an insurance salesman and one of them is a, in quotes, writer. So I don't know, guys. You set yourself up for that one. And yeah, we're going to bring it to you. So
Leatherman.
Leatherman. Yeah. Kinky. Like I said, there are a couple of cinephiles that cover like slasher movies.
That's what disturbs me. Cinephiles that call Leatherface Leatherman.
They should know better.
Yeah, no, that's scary.
That's a big, creepy. That's a very big faux pas.
Yeah, big. That's a bit red flag right there.
Uh-huh. So, okay, the movie.
Kidding. We really love you guys.
Nick and Andy. Yeah, we're obviously just fucking around.
We're just busting your balls.
It's a very friendly rivalry. The guys at Slash U, Nick and Andy, two great dudes. They do a great show. They've been around for quite a few years.
And once they know how to pronounce our real name.
They did shout us out, so at the end of their show, and we do appreciate that. But yeah, Nick and Andy at Slash U podcast, couple great dudes. They do a really good show, a lot of energy, real good laughs and everything. So we do thank you guys for the friendly rivalry that we have.
Even though you call us Extreme Horror
NPR.
What assholes! Kidding.
But so the movie that we covered, that we watched, and this is, it has to be, in quotes, one of the biggest movies of 2022. This is one of those movies that it came out and everybody was like, oh my god, this movie is fantastic. It did have a couple good parts, but overall, again, this is one of those movies that Nancy and I don't think, I'm just, well, I don't think. This is one of those movies that just did not land with us. Mm-mm. And maybe it was because, I don't know, maybe we're just not something. But
there was one scene that we really liked in it.
I think I know where you're talking about. Yeah, yeah. But I don't know.
It did set the stage at the beginning of the movie for something that was very intriguing.
The beginning of the movie, I liked the first half better than the second half. I like the middle part better than the first half in terms of like comedic timing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But if this doesn't give it away, the movie that we covered was 2022's Barbarian. It does score a 7.0 on IMDb. It was touted as one of 2022's best horror movies, and we just didn't see it. We didn't get it. It is a good movie, but one of the best, I don't think so. Is that agreeable?
Yeah, I mean, if you were to compare it to, like, a standard, you know, Friday the 13th, Halloween, it would not measure up to that.
Something that a slasher podcast would.
But
maybe a Texas Chainsaw Massacre with Leatherface.
There was a couple of things about the movie that I remembered.
Yeah.
That made it. And that's all the difference to me in my score.
Now, we saw this in the theater.
Yeah.
And when we left the theater, we're like, I just don't see it. I don't understand.
Yeah, it started out really, really powerful.
It did start out, and it was because it had the really creepy, like,
yeah,
creepy vibes. Like, well, where is this going?
The guy that played Pennywise was creepy.
Yeah.
And you actually thought.
Skarsgård. No. What the fuck is his name? I don't remember what his name is.
But
Pennywise.
Yeah. he almost made you feel like, I wouldn't say almost. He did make you feel like, I know where this is going with this guy.
Well, right. And I think that was the best part of the movie, because you thought that it was going to go a completely different direction than it did.
You're thinking of him and you're seeing Pennywise in your head.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I don't remember who I was listening to. I want to say Horror Cafe. I think it was Horror Cafe, and they said the very same thing, that because of his portrayal of Pennywise in the new It, that you thought the beginning of the movie was going to go completely different than what it was. And because you're looking at him on the screen and you're seeing him and you're thinking, oh my God, this is Pennywise. Of course he's going to be a creep.
Well, and that's exactly what the casters wanted you to think.
And that's probably a very good point, but because
probably.
Thank you for that. I mean, that's probably what they were thinking, and a very good point.
Probably. Okay.
Yeah. So.
You're a gem. You're really good to me.
Am I a peach? At least call me a peach.
You're a peach. Thank you. Thank you.
That's a peach, hon. What the fuck is his name? Bill Skarsgård.
Bill?
I think so. I don't know. But so you're looking at him and he's Pennywise. And just like you said,
he's not Pennywise in the movie.
Well, he's not Pennywise in this movie, but he played Pennywise in the movie It.
Yes.
So
yes.
You're looking at him and you're thinking, well, this guy is Pennywise.
He must be the bad guy. And
just like you said, you automatically assume that he is going to be the bad guy.
Yeah, they do kind of set it up for that. And we should say that there are spoilers if you haven't seen the movie.
And well, yes. And this is one of those movies that you should go into completely blind. Yeah. If you haven't seen it.
If you haven't seen it, don't watch this episode. Watch it or listen to it after.
Right. Exactly.
Because we're going to have a lot of spoilers here.
I'm pointing at the wife. She's got a very good point. Yeah. If you haven't seen the movie, first of all, what are you doing? Second of all.
Yeah. What kind of rock have you been living under?
Go watch the movie. Go watch the movie and then come back and listen, because we definitely want you to listen. You and I are talking about this movie, like, maybe we'll come out in the end liking it more than we thought we did.
We really didn't know. I mean, there was, they set it up to make us think that he was the bad guy, and we thought that it was going toward a certain direction. Then it hit like a comedic angle.
Right.
On it.
Yeah, with Justin Long.
Yeah, and it kind of got entertaining in a different way.
It did. So
if you're expecting a horror movie, it kind of like turned in a different direction. And you're like, oh, what are they doing with this? Where are we going with this?
So I think maybe after talking about it, we may feel differently than what we thought we did.
Like when we watched it?
Yeah.
Maybe we should watch it again.
Well, we'll watch it after this.
Okay.
But But I mean, it just from the way we're talking about it so far makes it sound like you and I are both thinking that it's better than it really, than we thought it was when we watched it the last time.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, but so again, okay.
Well, when you talk about it, you start to break down the whole, like you're, the mentality.
You're kinda, you're kind of seeing things that you didn't really think of while you were watching.
Yeah. You're heading towards in your head, you're heading towards.
So as we're talking about this movie, I think we're going to both see things and pick out things, like you said, that we wouldn't have really thought of on the first watch or the second watch, because we've watched it two or three times. But I think as we're talking about it, our opinions might change because we're giving it a more analytical look while we're talking about it, is basically what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So... okay, so again, the movie that we have covered is Barbarian from 2022, and it does score a 7.0 on IMDb.
Out of 10.
Out of 10. Of course, 10.
They don't know. Maybe they've never heard of IMDb scoring.
Really?
It could be out of 20, for all they know.
Why the fuck would you score anything out of 20?
Just make it inclusive for everybody.
Why would they score anything out of 20?
Some movies you'd have to score it out of 20.
When? Where?
Okay, so Army of Darkness would be a 1 out of 20.
When have you ever scored anything out of 20?
Army of Darkness.
When have you ever scored it out of 20?
It doesn't matter. Army of Darkness, out of 20, it scores 1.
Okay. Who else does that but you?
Doesn't matter. This is my scoring. This is in my head.
I don't understand your head. All right.
No kidding.
So after all that chit chat, we are going to dig into the plot now. Tess, who is our main protagonist, our main character of the movie, she pulls up to an Airbnb, and it's a night. It's a dark night. It's raining. It's storming. So she runs up to the house. And she punches the code into the little lockbox, and it doesn't open. So she punches the code in again. She punches the code in. Finally, she gets the lockbox open, but there's no key inside. So she's like, okay, like, what the fuck is going on here kind of thing. And she's pounding on the door. Light flips on inside. And Keith, who is a second character, he comes to the door. Obviously, he's all sleepy and everything. Now, this house that she pulls up to was the only house that was illuminated on the street. So you don't really know what's going on. But
and it was raining.
It was pouring rain.
Yeah.
Keith, who is played by Pennywise, and what did we say his name was? Bill Sarsgaard? Skarsgård?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. Googly eye, whatever. He's inside, and of course, they're kind of debating back and forth, like, well, I'm supposed to have a reservation for this house, and he says he's supposed to have a reservation for the house.
Which I don't understand. Just because he got there first, he has to, like, invite her to stay?
Well,
I mean, it's not her fault that
they
double-booked it.
It's not her fault, but yeah, the apparently there was two different companies that had bookings for the same house. And I mean, we've kind of run into the same thing. If we use like hotels.com, you know, we book a room and then we get to the hotel and they're like, oh, hey, by the way,
we have to prefer people that actually come right to us.
So he has a reservation for the house and she has a reservation for the house. And also, I mean, he lets her in. They, you know, they do a little chit chat. They try to call the reservation company or whatever. And he's like, okay, listen, she tries calling a hotel. And yeah, I mean, we're in Detroit. Detroit is a big place. And if you can't find something in Detroit proper, there's also like gotta be damn near 100 different hotels. In
the Metro Detroit area.
Yeah, in Metro Detroit.
And we were discussing the hotel casinos have hundreds and hundreds of rooms.
Yeah, is it what, there's Motor City Casino, there's an MGM down there.
Yeah.
And there may be others, but so she's trying to find a room. He tells Keith, tells Tess that there is a convention of some sort going on in town, so it's going to be extremely difficult for her to find a room, especially this late at night.
Which I don't think, no matter how big the convention is, are all the hotel suites going to be booked up?
I can't think of any kind of convention that would be like, yeah, like you say, so large that every single hotel would be booked up. I mean,
well, right. I mean, there isn't even enough like parking to have so many people. Well,
like in Best in Show, I mean, they even put them in the storage room. Yeah.
Should I say janitor closet?
Yeah, actually, yeah. Just, yeah. And the nice thing is that you're right next to the kitchen, so. So she tries to find a room. There's nothing available. And finally, they decide, okay, listen. Keith is trying to be the nice guy. He lets her take the bedroom. He'll take the couch, and they can, you know, figure everything out in the morning. That way, she's got her own private room. She can lock the door behind her, and there's, you know, nothing going to happen.
And given his claim to fame role, automatically you're going to think that,
well,
he's a villain,
yes,
of some sort,
yes. Obviously, he plays Pennywise in the It movies. So you, and we discussed this a little bit last night, you automatically think, okay, this guy is going to be a creep. And it kind of sets up a scenario in your head where you're like, all right, this dude, like, okay. And subconsciously, we're all thinking, all right, this dude's a creep.
Mm-hmm.
Only because he played Pennywise, but not because he's doing anything actually in the movie.
Well, he does seem kind of like a sickening sweet.
And
like too nice and like.
Well, right.
Like he opens a bottle of wine and she doesn't have any because she doesn't know if he's done anything to it. And well, he recognizes offers, that.
He offers to make her tea first.
Yeah.
And she declines that. And then when he realizes that she didn't want the tea because she didn't actually see him make it, she comes out of the bedroom and he's got the bottle sitting there and he's like, okay, I know you didn't want the tea because you didn't see me make it, which I totally understand.
Mm-hmm.
But here's this bottle of wine that was left, you know, from the renter. And he says, I'm going to open it in front of you. So he opens the bottle of wine. They have a little conversation. Turns out he's a jazz musician. And she is actually in town for an interview with a lady who is doing a documentary on that jazz band. Like, and
it just seems Detroit's a little bit.
Detroit's not really known for jazz.
No, it's more, I mean, it's Motown.
Well, you got, yeah, you're Motown, you got your rock. I mean, because you got Kid Rock, you got Bob Seger, you got the White Stripes, you got
Eminem.
Eminem. So, I mean, obviously, yeah, Detroit is known for, or was known for cars. And it's had a pretty storied history of, you know, different music groups. So,
it's not really the jazz capital.
I would not
of the world. Yeah.
I
would say Louisiana would be the jazz.
Probably. Yeah. Louisiana, yeah. New Orleans.
Yeah.
New Orleans.
NOLA.
No. Yeah. That one too. So he opens the bottle of wine. They end up having a really nice conversation about jazz and about just kind of, you know, bullshit.
And you feel like this is just getting, it's too good to be true. Something's going to happen because they get along swimmingly. And he seems to be turning out to be a nice guy. And then you're like, when does the ball drop? When, because you can kind of sense it. It was like, you know, palpable that there was going to be something that was going to happen to like interrupt their.
And you're just thinking, you're like, okay, like you just, yeah, like you just said, like, okay, here's the countdown, like 10, 9, 8.
Yeah.
Oh shit, we didn't get to anything. So now let me, Tess at some point says that she doesn't like sleeping on dirty sheets. So they do the laundry. Now, when he was showing her how to put on the duvet cover, and he had the duvet cover over his head, did you think he was going to, like jump out and grab her, or not like jump out of the duvet cover, but like try and like smother her or something with the cover.
You know, there's something that's going to happen. And I think they do little things like that in the plot just to kind of throw you off a little.
Yeah. But that was the, like, they, yeah, I don't know. They keep you on your toes because you're watching it and you're like, and just like you just got done saying like 2 minutes ago, you think something's going to happen. When's the ball going to drop? When is this like pivotal point going to happen where he takes, you know, control mm-hmm. over her and like snatches her up and does whatever.
Cause so far it's like a romance movie and it's a horror movie. That's why people
want to see
it. Cause it's a horror movie, you know?
It's like what's a good movie? What's a good example? Like Stepfather. He comes in, he woos the family, and then it turns out like he's this major douchebag. It's not Corbin Burnson. That was from The Dentist. What the hell is that guy's name? I can't think of his name. But so like the Stepfather movies, and I know there's a billion others where like he moves in, he's all sweet and calm and charming. And then the switch flips. What's that one with the carp face? Julia Roberts and is it Jason Patrick? Henry Patrick? Oh. Sleeping with the Enemy.
Oh, I don't remember what the guy's name was, but
something Patrick. Patrick Stewart? Patrick, I don't know. But anyway, so yeah. You think that because he's being so sickening sweet and he's being the nice guy that yeah, there's gonna be this like turn of events where it changes and does a 180. Ultimately that never ends up happening. So they go to sleep and in the middle of the night, she hears the door open, her bedroom door, and she did have it, you know, it was closed and it was locked. So she hears the bedroom door open. It wakes her up. And then she goes out into the family room where Keith is sleeping and he's sleeping on the couch. And he's having like a night terror. He's, you know, talking in his sleep. He's making noises, moaning like he's afraid or in pain or something. And he wakes her up, or I'm sorry, she wakes him up and he kind of jumps at her like, you know, what the fuck are you doing kind of thing. I was in the deep sleep. I was having a dream or whatever. And she says, well, you know, you were like dreaming and making noises. Did you open my door? Like, no, I've been asleep the whole time. So
unless you're starting to think,
and this is where like the creepiness kind of sort of happens. So she goes back to bed. He goes back to bed. And then in the morning, Tess wakes up. She goes to do her interview. And this is where she notices that the street that she is on, that the Airbnb is on, is like completely just destroyed.
Yes, you know, in a really bad area.
The houses are burned down or burned out. There's graffiti over all the all over the walls. The windows are boarded up, but they're the one house that they are in is the only house in this neighborhood that looks decent.
Yeah.
It looks like a normal house. And so she does the interview and she even tells the lady, Tess tells the interviewee that, you know, this is where I'm staying. And the interviewee is like, you really need to kind of like get out of that.
That's a horrible area.
That's a nasty neighborhood. Yeah. So get out of there and find something else. And she's like, well, no, I have a roommate and everything's cool. So Tess goes back to the house. She gets into the house and for whatever reason, the bathroom, even though it doesn't play a major role in the movie, there are a lot of scenes from inside the bathroom. So Tess goes to the bathroom and there's no toilet paper. So she's like, fuck. So she's got to try and find toilet paper. She's looking through all the cabinets, looking through the laundry area, and she ends up going downstairs. She sees a giant like Costco or Sam's Club, like, you know, 24, 32 rolls of toilet paper down there. And she goes down to get some. And as she
kind of wonder how much toilet paper has he used to the point where there's none left upstairs at all.
And it was awfully rude of it. Even if he used a little bit, it was awfully rude of him not to replace it. So, I mean, he was nice enough to wash her sheets for her, but yeah, didn't replace the toilet paper. So While she's down in the basement getting the toilet paper, the basement door locks behind her. It closes and locks behind her. And she's like, okay, like, how the fuck do I get out of here? So while she's farting around in the basement looking for a way to get out, she sees a rope, and it's going through a hole in the wall. And she starts tugging on the rope. And then there's like this hidden door in the wall that opens up. And her first reaction is, no, like, fuck that.
Yeah.
This
can't be good.
I'm not going down there. So she realizes her phone is upstairs. And then she's like, okay, I'm down here. I'm stuck. I might as well go see what's down the hall. So she takes this mirror. And she angles the mirror so that the overhead light in the basement reflects down the hall. So she's at least got a little bit of light. And she goes down the hall. She's creeping. And she comes to another room off to the side that has, like, it's got like a metal cot with a really nasty thin mattress on it, a video camera set up, a bucket, and like, I think...
It's got like a light. Wow, one of those...
Like a utility light,
yeah.
Or like a construction light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's buzzing and...
I hate that noise. That electric buzz.
Yeah.
I hate that noise. For all you older listeners out there, or, you know, our age listeners...
Speak for yourself.
Were you ever able to hear, like, electricity on? Could you hear the TV kicking on? I know we've talked about that.
Yeah, yeah. I could always tell when we were going to have a movie playing in school. Because I could hear the TV, like the high pitch.
There's like a really, really subtle high pitch,
yeah.
Like buzz or like just a whine almost.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for all of our older listeners out there, do you remember hearing that? Or you could tell. Or maybe it was like the static, like building up on the TV screen or something. But anyway, so yeah, she goes into this room and she's like, okay, fuck that. So she's out of there. And she hears Keith coming back from his jog or whatever, which is another thing I don't understand. If this town or this neighborhood that she's in is so nasty and just like chewed up and spit out kind of place, why is he jogging around town just like willy-nilly?
Well, that's probably another, like, it's like a fake warning, because you're thinking if he's not afraid of jogging through this neighborhood, there's a reason why he's not afraid.
Like he's a regular, you mean, kind of thing?
Yeah, like he is comfortable there for some reason.
Well, see, at one point, and maybe it's because, and I think we totally skipped over the homeless guy running after her saying, don't go back into the house. This is when she gets back from the interview. There's a homeless guy, and he's like two blocks away, and he's yelling at Tess, like, don't go in the house, don't go in the house. Or, you know, he's trying to stop her, but she doesn't understand that he's trying to warn her, and she, like, immediately, you know, finally gets into the house. But anyway, so Keith comes back from his jog or wherever he was at, and she sees him, and she's pounding on the basement window, and they get the key. He comes in, he lets her out, and she's like, you know, breathing heavily, like, I found this room in the basement. It's got this, like, creepy-ass, like, fucking nasty, gnarly bed downstairs, and it's got a video camera and this construction light.
It looks like it's a spot that somebody would, like, be keeping someone, keeping them captive.
Keeping them captive or torturing them or something. So he's like, okay, well, you know, I'm not just going to take your word for it, so I want to go see what's going on. And so he goes down there, and she's like, you know, Keith, you know, like trying to call back up to him, and he just kind of like disappears. And she goes back down behind him, props the door open this time so the basement door doesn't lock her in again.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes down, follows him, or goes down to look for him. And then she discovers another hidden door in the basement that goes into this, like, hand-dug, like a cave?
Yeah, like a passageway.
It looks like it went down, what, 50 steps maybe, something,
yeah.
Like it was kind of hard to tell. But so she's got her flashlight on her phone on, and she's like walking through this passageway, and again it's like pitch black except for her little flashlight on her phone. And she comes across one little like dugout area, and it's got like wired dog cages or like something, just kind of a little nook off to the side. And then she hears Keith like yelling, like, you know, he's yelling for her, but it sounds like he's what?
In the far distance.
Like 100 yards away.
Yeah.
And he comes running up to her. He finally like gets towards her and he comes running up to her and he says, "Something bit me," you know? And this is where you're like, okay, what the
fuck is he? You kind of think, is he making this up just to kind of like.
If he was making it up, he did a really good job of playing the part of faking it.
Well, remember Ted Bundy.
Well, okay, yeah. So he comes running up to her and he's like, "Something bit me. There's something down here." And he says, "We got to go back this way." And she's like, "No, fuck that. Like, this is the way out." And just as she's telling him to, this is the way out, something comes running up to him. This hairy, saggy, tittied, mutant woman thing. And yeah. Go ahead.
I'm trying to. It reminds me of something from somewhere.
I have two examples. Three examples. No, two examples. The first one would be the Deadite from Evil Dead 2. The one that's yelling, "I'll swallow your soul, I'll swallow your soul." The second one would be the singer from the Star Wars Cantina that has like the long snoot mouth. You probably have no idea what either of those are because you hate those movies. But that would be my example. Or maybe like a Yeti, a female Yeti, or Obama, or Bigfoot.
It kind of reminded me, you know, the scary stories to tell in the dark.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know exactly which one you're talking about. Was that a male or a female?
I think it was female.
I don't know, but I know exactly which one you're talking about. Like got like a really big round head and like three chins. And is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I know exactly which one you're talking about. I know which one you're talking about. Actually that is a really good example. So whatever this thing is, this creature or person or whatever, it comes running up to Keith, grabs him by the head and like demolishes his head on the stone or dirt wall, like completely caves in his head, and then it cuts. And
then you're kind of like, oh, so I guess he's not the bad guy.
He wasn't the bad guy.
But what the hell is this thing?
So then we cut to Justin Long, and he's driving down the expressway in California. The sun is shining. It's a beautiful day. He's like on Highway 1, running right next to the Pacific Ocean. And he's got the Ricky Tikki Tavi song playing.
He's on the phone with his agent?
While he's driving and singing the song, So he's driving down the expressway, and this song is playing. Oh.
He's in the convertible. He's talking to his agent. He's your typical California douchebag.
So anyway, yeah, he's playing that song. He's singing to it. And then, yeah, the phone rings in his car phone. Or cell phone, whatever. And it's his agent, just like Nancy said. And they are explaining to him that whatever this show he was involved in is being canceled because his co-star is accusing him of sexual harassment, assault, or rape, or whatever. And he's like, "What? Like, what the fuck is going on?" Now, this little subplot kind of plays out. And as it turns out, well, not only is his agent dropping him, but his financial advisor is dropping him, and all of his friends.
It's basically the kiss of death in Hollywood, you know, the Me Too
canceled
movement. Yeah. Whether or not it was true, which he kind of insinuates that he thought that it was a mutual experience. And
he does kind of confess to it a little bit later, because when he's out with his buddy at the bar, because he comes back to Michigan, turns out that the Airbnb is his. He comes back to Michigan. He's out with his buddy at the club, and his friend is like, "All right, dude, come on, you know, bro to bro, tell me what happened." He's like, "Well, you know, we were doing something. We were in the green room, and at first, you know, she said no, she said no, she said no, and then finally she relented. So I banged her." And that is what, like, coercion, like, what do you, like, sexual coercion or coercion?
Yeah.
Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, and what, I mean, what is that called? It, I mean, it's sexual harassment. You know, plain and simple. So she said no, she said no, she said no. Yeah. And then eventually she did have sex with him, but it was under duress, I guess you could say. So he goes back to Michigan. The Airbnb is his.
Well, we should kind of explain that his career is, you know, inevitably
in the shitter.
Yeah. And so, he doesn't have any, his apartment, everything is going to be taken away from him.
Right. Right.
So his only option is this rental property that he has.
He has a couple that got, the financial advisor says, like, you can try and sell them, but it's only going to help you, like, get through another,
it'll cover your legal expenses for, like, the next month, and then you're back to square one again.
So he goes back to Michigan to see if he can somehow liquidate this house. And while he's in the house, he goes downstairs to look for something. I don't remember what he was looking for, but he goes down, or no, he hears a noise downstairs is what it is. And he's like, he's playing the tough guy, you know, I've got a gun. Turns out he's only got like a paring knife. And he goes in, he finds the secret hall, then he finds the room, and then he's like, and I think the best part of the whole movie is like,
he's not like freaked out or scared or like,
not at all.
Yeah, his response was, oh my gosh, this is more square footage.
Right. I can get a better price for this house. So he goes onto his laptop and he's looking like, okay, can basement square footage be considered in the overall square footage for a better price? And so he grabs this like 50 foot long tape measure. And first he measures the hall, then he measures the room. Then he discovers the, and like, he's giddy with like excitement.
As he goes
like,
down this creepy like corridor cave shaft, whatever you want to call it, he's like getting more and more excited because he's like, that's more square footage.
He's like, yeah, this is like, I've hit the mother load.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, he goes into the like the second passageway and he measures the stairway. He finds the little nook with the, like, the Meyer dog cages. And he's like, oh, fuck, this is even more space. So he measures that. And he just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. And then he gets to a room. There's a room further into the passageway again. And there's, like, mattresses or pillows or something all over the floor. And, again, there's, like, this old CRT tube or cathode ray tube. Like, this old big-ass fucking clunky TV. Mm-hmm. And it's playing this video of like a mother breastfeeding a baby, or trying to like teach the mother how to breastfeed.
Yeah,
a baby.
Like an early 80s breastfeeding tutorial video.
And so he's watching the video and he's got the tape measure on the floor, and suddenly the tape measure starts like winding itself back up and it makes that like, you know, whatever that noise is. That was really annoying. But so it makes, you know, and then he takes off down this corridor back, like, forward, instead of going back up to the base, or, you know, back to the normal basement, and then he falls into a pit. This mother creature, nasty, like, again, this mutated woman thing, comes up over the pit, slams a cage down, and then we cut again. I will say about this movie that I like the breakdown, like, the sections. First act, second act, third act kind of thing. Mm-hmm. This one almost had like probably close to like four or five acts.
Yeah.
You got Tess and Keith, then you got AJ, then you've got this 80s part here, and there's at least one or two more later. So we cut back to the 80s. And
it's the house, the rental, and it is and it the neighborhood is like up and coming. I mean, the houses are all neatly manicured.
Everything looks beautiful.
Yeah, it's like a part of the city that had been rejuvenated at some point and had new construction houses being built. And the guy
are that, they called row houses? Is that what they call them?
No, that's like a brownstone, like in Gettysburg.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So the guy that owned in the 80s that owned the rental house,
yeah,
Creepy guy.
Richard Brake, I think is his name.
He's just super creepy. And they have him, you know, getting in the car. His neighbor saying, you know, just so you know, I sold my house. I'm getting out.
Planning on moving.
Yeah. And the guy just doesn't really
pay attention.
Acknowledge it. Yeah. And then he goes to the store, and then you find out that he's going because he's looking for diapers.
Diapers and like birthing. What was it? It was diapers, birthing pads. I think bottles, maybe latex gloves. I know was another one. But so yeah.
Yeah, we get a clerk at the store that's asking him, you know, what he's looking for, and then she is like, "I'm gonna like get this guy set up with like the works."
She doesn't even work on commission. So
and she's putting like, you know, diapers and wipes and, you know, everything in the cart.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just kind of like, again, just.
He's like not really, I mean, it's obvious that he wants stuff, the supplies to do the birthing, but it's like he doesn't care.
Yeah, it's just a creepy, he has like no, you can't read him.
Yeah.
At all.
And I know this guy, he always plays on the Rob Zombie movies. That's where I know him from. But yeah, so he's going through the store, picking out the stuff or having the clerk pick out the stuff. And then he goes back outside. Puts all the stuff in his trunk, and he spies a woman like across the parking lot or something. And he's just like eyeballing her. She doesn't see him. She's paying no attention to him. He follows her home. I didn't mean to cut you off if you wanted
to. No, I'm sorry.
So he ends up following her home, puts on this jumpsuit, like a Michael Myers jumpsuit, and, or what do you call it? Like a onesie? I don't know.
Anyway.
Coveralls, yeah.
One
thing. So he follows her home. He puts on this like utility company coveralls with the name Carlos on it for some reason. He does not look like a Carlos.
No, you can tell it's not his.
So he knocks on her door and he says, "Hey, you know, I'm here from wherever. There's been a complaint of like a gas leak or something. I just want to make sure that everything is cool in the house. Is that, you know, do you mind if I come in?" So while he's inside, he actually unlocks one of her, like the bathroom window or something. Presumably so he can get in at a later time and do whatever he's going to do with her. And then it cuts again. So now we're back at the pit with AJ and Tess. Turns out Tess is in the pit as well. And again, this mother creature mutant woman thing. Oh, this bottle was so nasty. It had like hair on the nipple.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, she's holding this like giant baby bottle, or it almost looked like a quart of milk bottle. Like, you know, like the old quarts of milk that you'd get in the, like the 50s.
Yeah, it was just, yeah. And yeah. Okay.
And it's got this like giant
rubber looking nipple. Yeah.
And it's like covered in hair and like scabby.
It's just, yeah, it's nasty.
Nastiness. So that would be a good, would you rather? Would you rather die or suck on a hairy nipple? A hairy bottle nipple. So this creature, this woman thing is trying to feed him with this bottle. And Tess is like telling him, like, you know,
just drink it.
Drink. Yeah. Yeah, she's like under her breath, like, drink it. Do what she's trying to get you to do. And like, you know, chill the fuck out. Like, don't make a bunch of noise. She hates noise kind of thing. So Tess ends up escaping. Oh, no. The woman creature takes AJ back to the movie room, the room with all the mattresses. Oh, and this part was so nasty, too. She takes AJ back to this room with the breastfeeding video playing, and he's laying on the floor, and she is trying to get him to suck on her deflated mutant boob to breastfeed. And she's like, oh, it's so bad. Okay. She's like holding her breast and like squeezing the nipple to try and get it into his mouth. And like the creature does.
It's like comically disgusting though, because it's like,
yes, exactly. Like you're laughing at it because it's so uncomfortable, but you're like, oh god, that is so nasty.
But the fact that it's happening to him, it's funny because
He's like a jerk. I said,
yeah, he's a douche.
So Tess ends up escaping and she takes off. She gets past the movie room. She goes all the way back up the stairs and out of the house. And as she's out of the house, or when she gets out of the house, the same homeless guy that was there before trying to get her to not go back into the house, he's right there at the front door and she runs into his arms. And so I'm still thinking about the boob. So turns out that the homeless guy is he's trying to protect her from this woman.
Yeah, thing. He knows that there's like this beast that lives there, and
he tells the homeless guy tells Tess that like she should really just like leave everything in the house, get in your car, yeah, and take off, and don't look back. AJ, I don't know how he escapes the woman or the mother.
Well, the guy has a gun. He's back in the room with the TV playing.
Right. AJ escapes from the mother somehow, and he goes farther and farther and farther into this tunnel system. And this is where he discovers the room with the old guy from the 80s. And
now he's like this old invalid.
He's just laying in bed. He looks like he's
dying. He's got
to be 90 years old.
Emphysema, like he had like really like rattly cough.
And can't talk.
He's got a bunch of, doesn't he have a bunch of like medicines on his
a bunch of bottles of water, bunch of medicines and all that kind of stuff. And
it's, and it's gross. I mean, the bed is like disgusting looking and nasty. And he looks like, I mean, he just hasn't.
Probably covered in urine and poo stains and stuff like that. So AJ is now in this room, and as he's looking around, he sees gotta be 50, maybe 100 videotapes, and each one of them is labeled like, you know, the puker or the gas station attendant or, you know, the blonde or I think there was one called the screamer and there was one called the plumber and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So he pops one of these videotapes into the player, and you don't see what's on the tape, but you hear what's going on, and it's just screaming. So you kind of have to, your mind starts clicking, and you're like, oh, fuck. Like, these are videotapes that were made in the first room.
The room with camera.
The camera and the light and the bed. And he's like, he turns to the old guy laying in bed. And again, this is Richard Brake from the 80s, but he's in his 80s. So AJ turns to him and he's like, you are like a sick fucker, you know, like you're doing this to these people. And as AJ is chewing out the old guy reaches into the nightstand next to him, pulls out a gun or shoots himself in the head and kills himself. So AJ grabs his gun and he goes back down the hall towards the house again. And just as he's getting towards the front of the tunnel, Tess again comes back into the tunnel. AJ shoots her and he's like, oh, fuck, you know, what am I getting? Like, he's, of course, now he's like freaking out.
Yeah.
So he ends up grabbing Tess. And this is where you're like, okay, maybe he's just misunderstood AJ.
Mm-hmm. He seems like a nice enough guy. He's helping out.
He's trying to protect her. He gets her out of the house. So they end up going, it's so stupid. They end up getting out of the house and they're like walking down the street. And again, this homeless guy comes up to them and they run into him and he takes them into this, like, it looked like an abandoned school maybe or something. They take off down the road and the homeless guy says, like, you know, come on in here kind of thing. So it looks like an abandoned school or an abandoned building, whatever it was. And AJ is talking to both Tess and the homeless guy. And he says, you know, like, maybe I'm a good guy who just does bad things, or maybe I just am a bad person. I don't know, but like, I'm confused kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the homeless guy is like, well, you know, whatever, shit happens kind of thing. And he's like, but you guys, like, what, you stay here for the night because whatever that woman thing is in the house doesn't, you know, she doesn't come down this far. And just as he says that, this woman creature comes busting ass through the wall, rips off this homeless fucker's arm, and and beats him to death with it. And you know, you can hear like the as she's doing it. So again, Tess and AJ take off down the road. They end up climbing up on top of this old water tower, or not, it was not a water tower, but like a water tank.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they take off and they climb this water tank, and this woman, mother, I'm just going to call her mother. Mother follows AJ and Tess up to the top of the tank. And AJ, this is where he flips again. And AJ says,
well, he's like, kind of like backed into a corner.
Well, he is backed into a corner, but like he flip flops so much. Cause first he's the chill dude.
You think several the song, times that he's redeeming himself.
And then he's the guy who raped the girl. And then he's the guy who tried to, you know, like protect her. And yeah, so he flip flops. He ends up throwing Tess off of the water tank to save himself. Mother jumps off the tank after Tess and ends up like landing on the ground under Tess to protect Tess, because apparently in the 2 weeks that Tess was in the pit, Mother and Tess had developed some kind of
a weird bond.
AJ comes back down the tank, and Mother, knowing that he had thrown Tess off, gets pissed off, digs her thumbs into his eyes, and then rips his head in half vertically, which was actually kind of cool. That was one of those kills that you weren't really expecting. So I think just the thumbs in the eyes would have been good enough, but she actually rips his head in half. So Tess at this point picks up the gun that AJ had, and the mother is kind of cradling Tess, and she's like saying Baba or Mama or something. And Tess shoots Mother in the head, and then that's it. Tess walks off. The credits roll. And yeah, so I don't know. I think we enjoyed it a lot more talking about it than we did watching it. Maybe now that we've gotten all analytical, we'll have to rewatch it again. Maybe tomorrow or the next day or whatever. Soon, anyway. But okay, so on your gore score, what do you give this on the gore score? 1 out of 10. Not 1 out of 10, but 1 through 10.
For gore, I would say there are like the breastfeeding and the bottle. That was like a whole new level of cringe. So I would say a good 7.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I can agree with that. This one would have a definite cringe factor in it. So, and then overall, because I mean, we hated this movie. Or we didn't hate it, but we were not keen on it. We enjoyed it, but it was not like, let's like, we'll give it or take it kind of thing.
Yeah. You don't really understand whether or not you like a movie until you come to the decision that you want to see it again.
Right.
And so in that respect, my overall score would be another 7, I would say. Because we wanted to see it again. And now that we've kind of like picked it apart, it would be interesting, like you said, to watch it yet again and see
if we can find anything else or, or if what we just discussed was like, maybe that didn't work or, okay, 7 and 7. That's pretty good. Before we started this show, I honestly thought it was going to be a lot lower on both counts. So, I think I'm going to agree with you. Well, a 7 and a 7.
Yeah.
A 7 on the gore score. And yeah, you definitely have to include the hairy nipple and the, and the breastfeeding scene, in the gore score.
You can't help but like laugh out loud about him doing the measuring of the square footage.
Well, that too. And that's, yeah, it was a pleasant break after like the what is going to happen creepiness of Keith and Tess.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like you said, once he's measuring the room and he's looking up, you know, can this be included with the square footage? And then it cuts to the creepy 80s guy, you know, stalking the woman and doing the shopping and stuff like that. It's like a pleasant, like halfway point break kind of thing. So I think I'm going to agree with you on both counts. A 7 on the gore score, and not really that it's a gory movie. I mean, there's the head bashing, and then there's the, you know, ripping his head in half. But if you're including the hairy bottle nipple and the breastfeeding part,
you can consider cringe.
Yeah.
Gory.
Well, right. So for this movie, yes, a 7 and a 7 from Nancy and a 7 and a 7 from myself. So I think overall, we both enjoyed talking about it a lot more than we thought we would, and a lot more than we thought the movie was worth when we first saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we will definitely have to watch it again. Would I say this is one of the best movies of 2022? It's up there, but I wouldn't say it's the best.
Well, movie. I would say if my overall score would have to be a 10 in order for it to be considered the best.
No. So let's think about what came out last year real quick. You had X, you had Pearl, you had Smile, you had Barbarian, you had, was the final Halloween last year, or was that the year before?
I think it was last year.
That one completely sucked.
Yeah.
But so 2022 was a big year for horror. But so I would say this is, like in the top 70 percentile, because we just gave it 7s and 7s.
So that's a safe assumption.
I think discussing it and laughing about it and talking about it, I think we definitely enjoyed it. I think we enjoyed it more than we thought we did. So it'll definitely get another watch from us. But we are Extreme Horror Replay. I am Ben. She is Nancy. And you can find us on Instagram at XHR_podcast. We do have...
No NPR.
Nick and Andy from /you podcast. No, but seriously, yeah, you guys, I love listening to you guys. But so yes, the two guys at /you, thumbs up. But yeah, we are Extreme Horror Replay, XHR_podcast. I am Ben. She is Nancy. We do have a Patreon, $4, $6, $8. You get some cool stuff in there. We do have a TeePublic where you can buy some swag. I think that's about it. We pretty much have, we're on every podcatcher or pod player, whatever the hell they're called nowadays. Platform. I don't know. Pod platform. it would be mighty swell of y'all listeners to rate us on Spotify or Apple. And that's about it. So I'm going to stop saying, I will say, what am I going to say? I will say, happy trails and love one another like yourself, but not that much. And to my lovely wife, Nancy,
I would say also, like yourself. And
you are such a follower.
Like me better though.
Yeah. All right. We will talk to you all later. Be good to one another and stay safe. We love you all, listeners. Thank you very much. See you next time. Bye-bye.